Hello everyone, this is Cody from the Rancor's Brothel. Are you looking for dice and other gaming accessories for your group? If so, check out our friends over at fanroll.com, where you can find unique dice and premium quality accessories for your table. And if you're looking for something really special, they do customization as well. Fans of the Rancor's Brothel can save 10% by using the promo code RB10 at checkout. That's R as in Rancor's, B as in Brothel, 10. Not only can you get yourself some great dice at a discount, but you can support this podcast as well. So check out fanroll.com today and use promo code RB10 at checkout. Tell them the Rancor's Brothel sent you.
The Rancor's Brothel presents... A Dungeons & Dragons Campaign.
Out of the abyss.
Well, I probably should have gone to pee before now.
But empty glasses here.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Craig's not here. You could pee in his glass.
Don't use this one.
Let's say there are two glasses. Well, there's one glass up there I prefer you not use, which has my name on it.
This one.
How's it going, everybody?
Good.
We did it. We're back. We're finally going to get back to Out of the Abyss. I'm sitting here with half a party.
Well, half, I mean, like three quarters.
Well, depending on how the new party members play, yes.
I'd say like 7/9.
What is it? Platform 9 3/4? You got 9 3/4 of a party here.
Yeah. Okay, so Cody is bringing back Kira. Troy is bringing back Malveus. Lucas lost his character sheet for Nexus and decided to just make a new character.
If you can't hear the sarcasm in air quotes in Jeff's voice...
In other words, Lucas is just Lucasing.
So
I don't like my character, so I'm just going to give it up.
So tonight, we are going to kind of give a little bit of an idea of where these two characters ended up after the halfway point of the book. We're going to start right about the time that we ended. I mean, you guys came charging into Mithril Hall, and you had a few days to rest, and then everybody kind of went their own separate ways. You were finally free. You saw the sun again for the first time. Kira said that she was going to go report in. She was going to go back to Neverwinter, report in to her superiors.
Right.
Malveus said that he wanted to... visit or return LNL's body to her family.
Correct.
So I think you have a day to rest or so, and Kira, Nexus, Eldith, and Fargus set off, and Malveus turns right back around and heads back underground.
Yep. Gotta go get that body.
The Dryder body, I don't know that it would still be there. I mean, unless you really want to go back and hack off the elfie bits and deliver those.
Here's half your daughter's body.
So I think Malveus goes all the way back to Blingdenstone and out beyond that to where you buried LNL. You built a cairn around her.
Yeah.
And you recover that body. And I mean, you end up back in Blingdenstone. The gnomes welcome you in. They offer to help. They make sure that you're protected and everything like that. And they help you bring her back and get you back to Mithril Hall. I'm not going to make you roll random encounters or anything. I'm done with travel.
Do it. This turns into a 7-part series. It'll take like an hour, guys. We'll just do a real quick intro. 17 episodes later.
So, after that, you get back. I mean, this probably takes you a couple weeks to make your way back and recover the body, get back to Blandenstone, then back to Mithril Hall, and then back to the surface. Where do you go? What do you do?
I would head straight to where she's from. I would head to Silvery Moon.
Yes, check the notes I gave you.
Why you gotta be that way?
So
Jeff's such a bro. He sets you up with all the notes. So you're like, I head back to Silvery Moon. Like, you read that out of the Facebook chat. Dick.
Yep.
Yeah, we kind of discussed this a little bit, and I gave Troy my ideas because he hadn't really written much of a backstory for LNL.
Not really. Like, I mean, as far as like where she was from and stuff, no, I hadn't really thought all that.
Yeah,
through.
I mean, lore within Forgotten Realms and everything like that's more my thing. So I tried to help out a little bit. So,
in fairness, she's one of the few characters that I did not have a backstory for. Like, I usually build decent backstories.
Yeah. Well, you were kind of thrown that sideways pitch at the beginning.
Yeah.
That's fair. That's very fair. Forgot about that. Very fair.
Yeah. So we end up in Silvery Moon. I don't know if anybody is familiar with the various cities in the Forgotten Realms and everything like that, but Silvery Moon is a city not far from Mithril Hall. It's an ally of theirs. It's a predominantly human and elf city. Very entwined with nature. Nature growing up through buildings and buildings built into trees and things like that. It spans two sides of a massive river. And there's a giant shimmering blue bridge of force that spans the river. I know I sent you the names of the stuff in the chat. I don't remember it.
The river Rauvin? R-A-U-V-I-N?
Rauvin, yeah, that sounds familiar. I kind of jotted down a neat little funeral scene from in the chat. I didn't know what parts of that you wanted to keep and what parts you didn't.
I mean, I basically liked all of it, so we can... You want me to read it?
Sure, go ahead.
So as, you know, Jeff was saying, I traveled to Silvery Moon to return Elinel's body to her people, which I do. I would probably urge them to keep the body wrapped, because due to circumstances... Closed casket funeral probably is the way to go. But I'll start here. We flash ahead to a majestic nighttime scene above the River Rauvin in the heart of Silvery Moon. The full moon shines down upon a large gathering of people, all of whom are standing on a luminescent bridge built of pure force. In the center of that gathering, we see myself flanked by a pair of pale-skinned elves. I stare stoically out from the bridge as a small boat moves out from below the bridge and slowly further down the river. The male elf next to me hands me a bow. The elf bends down to whisper in my ear, "This was her grandfather's. She would have wanted you to have it." Malveus solemnly accepts the bow, draws back an arrow. Elnil's father snaps his finger and the wrapped tip of the arrow ignites in a flash of blue flame. The arrow is released with a crack, and the assembled family and friends watch as it streaks across the sky to strike the drifting boat and sends LNL to the next life.
Roll your attack. None.
The arrow majestically flies and plops in the water beside the boat.
And sets the river on fire.
Those elves and their goddamn pollution.
I'll mostly kind of paraphrase what you kind of sent next, but essentially I recuperate here in Silvery Moon, spend some time here. Each day, you know, kind of end up back on the moon bridge, still seeing that burning boat as it travels down the river, constantly thinking back to the Underdark and Elenil and the demonic incursions and, you know, probably replaying my death and I was slightly aware of what I was doing under being possessed, right?
Yeah, you were kind of watching in the background.
Yeah, so kind of reliving all those things all coming together as I was sort of retooling Malveus, I was kind of playing into what you wrote, so I guess I'll let me add this into that bit.
Sure.
Sort of. So as we, if you remember, Elenel was a mystic. She was a psionic, had psionic abilities, which I'll just say she probably learned here. Obviously, there's a bridge of force made, so like there's, I guess, some sort of connection probably to all of it. So I spent some time trying, you know, to learn some of those abilities, and taking on a second class as a Psy warrior. So multi-classing as a ranger Psy warrior.
And that's a fighter subclass, right?
Fighter, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, for the record, the everybody is going up to 8th level for the second half of the book.
And also thinking, you know, back through those events, probably reinterpreting my sort of role as a ranger as well. And retooled him as a night stalker. So dealing kind of more in the darkness and the shadow kind of makes a little more sense with A being a drow maybe and just going through some dark shit over the last several months. So,
and you're unironically creating a Dritz clone having never read a single Dritz novel.
He's a Dritz fan.
Correct. I did say Malveus was. Malveus, but yeah, he's a Dritz fanboy. So all these things, unintentionally on my part, made sense. So, you know, kismet and all. There's a little back and forth here. Do you want to...
Yeah. I mean, several weeks will pass in Silvery Moon, and eventually, while Malveus is up on the... whatever the name of the bridge is.
You just said Moon Bridge.
The Moon Bridge. That is the name of it. He's staring out down the river, and he hears hoof clops coming up behind him, and he hears his name called. Malveus Misrim?
His fucking name too. God damn it. He doesn't even know. He doesn't even fucking know.
Yes.
What did I say was the name of the halfling?
You wrote it!
You didn't
I wrote it like 3 months ago.
You didn't give me the name of the halfling.
Sass into the mic, please. It makes it easier to edit.
You gave me the name of who's summoning.
I said I wrote this like 3 months ago. Hang on.
I mean, literally, like almost to the day.
No, you're right. I didn't add the name in. I thought I did.
Do I need to get the DCC book of random names? Would that be helpful to you?
No, I had a specific name.
Biggest Dickus Sates.
Yeah, there's a halfling on a very well. There's a halfling outrider. What?
I just was thinking of all the most inappropriate things I could describe this as while you're trying to describe it.
There's a halfling outrider that has ridden up behind you. Very well outfitted. The horse is well taken care of. He says that King Brunner Battlehammer requests your presence as quickly as possible back in Gauntlegrim.
Have I heard that name before?
If you're a Dritz fanboy, then yes.
He's like the Gimli of Forgotten Realms. Does that help?
Yeah, he is. He is Dritz's best friend.
Oh. For what am I needed?
There's been disturbing reports coming out of the Underdark, and we understand that you have had some dealings with it. You've had experience with it, and you might have some idea of what's actually going on.
Hmm. Demons again?
As I understand, yes.
Yeah, I've got some unfinished business there as well, so what the hell.
And he will He will travel with you, and from Silvery Moon, I think it still takes a couple weeks to get there. But it's all surface travel, it's all well-traveled roads, protected and everything like that. I don't want to do travel. Kira.
Yes.
Kira, Fargus, Eldith, and Nexus set off from Mithril Hall.
Okay.
You guys go for a week. Nexus peels off. He says he's got places to go and things to do. Or she does.
Right. It's a little confusing.
Where does Kira go?
Ultimately back to Neverwinter. Like a good soldier, she's reporting back to let them know what's going on.
Is she seeing everybody back to Gontalgrim first or going straight there?
I don't know the details of the geography, so probably whatever seems more prudent.
You are here, Gontalgrim is here, and Neverwinter is here.
If it's along the way, then yes, yeah. Stopping at Gontalgrim makes logical sense.
Yeah, it's right along the way.
Then yes, she would have followed along to Gontalgrim, and if she's got to make her own way to Neverwinter, she can do that.
Eldith has basically fanboyed you. She tells you that you're more than welcome to stay, you're welcome back, whatever she can do to make you feel welcome and everything like that.
But they need to know.
Fargus doesn't give a shit.
They need to know. The surface needs to know what's going on.
They do.
Otherwise, they'll never come down here.
I'm going to pass the word this way, and I'm going to make sure that they know that the hand that you played in this.
They don't care about they don't care about what's under here. They're not going to care until it pops up on the surface, and by then it'll be too late. This is what the fuck were they called? Gray cloaks, wasn't it? This is what the gray cloaks were sent here for originally, to help with this kind of stuff.
Oh, that was Kira's original unit, or
yeah, the Neverwinter gray cloaks were supposed to be like a. If I remember correctly, they're supposed to be an equivalent of, like, a militia. So they're, you know, not necessarily trained soldiers, but they're, what do I say? They're townsfolk on call. They're the National Guard of Neverwinter.
Okay.
And the original story was that she was sort of sent down to defend Gontalgrim and then just stayed.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. She went with Brunner when they went to reclaim Gontalgrim or something, didn't they?
Yeah. The Grey Cloaks were a part of that, and then she stayed on longer than that. Because I wrote the years down. I show in 1479 is when she became a Grey Cloak, and then 1484 to 1486 is when she served in Gontalgrim.
It's pretty close to right. Sorry, I'm eating boozy chocolates.
Dude, the boozy chocolates are dope. Jeff continues to bring amazing adult alcoholic treats for not being a big drinker himself.
Okay, so you're going back to Neverwinter now, though.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Kira's general thought is that they're not going to believe the calls for aid. So maybe if someone who is one of them, even if she hasn't been there in a while, maybe they will listen to her. She's not got high hopes, but it's just that it's that drive. She has to do this. She has to report back because it's been drilled into her.
And you make your way back, and you're given an audience. You're brought before your superiors, and then they kick it up the line, and you're taken before. You probably don't make it all the way to Lord Neverember,
right?
But you're taken to somebody around that station. And was it Family Guy where they had the super inbred haughty guy with the jaw that stuck out, and that's what I picture with the upper crust of Neverwinter.
Sure.
And you get absolutely nowhere. This is the Underdark's problem. This is Gontalgrim's problem. We're not a part of that. Let the dwarves deal with it.
Depending on who I'm talking to and when, like, Kira is to the point of, I mean, because again, what is it? what do we call it, madness in this game or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, there is some literal insanity to Kira as a character. So, I mean, Kira will make a scene. I don't know if you want to act out that scene, but if she gets stymied by following proper channels, she is like to the point of standing outside with a stereo outside Lord Never Ember's castle, or, you know, like showing up where she's not supposed to be.
I see this scene getting to the point where Kira is hauled out of there after laying this guy out.
Also, yes, that could definitely be a thing.
I mean, that's the point that I see this getting to, especially knowing where you went with your character.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, she could lay this guy out. Like I said, she'll make a ruckus, but she will not be stymied by political maneuverings and upper crust aspirations. She wants to talk to somebody who she can get to listen.
And after days of trying, you don't get anywhere. Nobody here wants to hear it. Neverwinter thinks that they're outside all of this, and that those troubles aren't going to come this way. They're ready for whatever comes, even though the city has been destroyed more than once by some kind of mystical whatever.
Such as the history of Neverwinter, since it continues to be the setting for every goddamn Forgotten Realms game.
I mean, when... I think it was at least in the Salvatore books, when Brunner first found Gontalgrim, the primordial that is contained inside it almost completely wiped out Neverwinter. And Brunner went and tried to warn them that this was coming, and they're like, oh no, that won't reach here, that won't happen here, and then boom.
Right. Which is why she would continue to be as insistent as possible, even if she does have to lay out a few folks.
Yeah, and I'm sure that happens, and I'm sure that Kira spends a few nights in a cell.
Sweet. My phone never goes off, and now it's going off 18 times for the first time since we've been down here.
It's Ambrosian texting you that something's on fire.
Please don't text if something's on fire. That's really, really poor response time. Who is the... is Lord Neverember ultimately who is in charge of...
Yes.
Gontalgrim? Or sorry, not Gontalgrim. Neverwinter?
Yes.
So he is not only a military leader, he's also... the highest political leader.
Yeah, I think technically he is a part of the Lord's Alliance and everything like that.
Gotcha.
If not him directly, then members of his upper echelon are part of the Lord's Alliance.
Do they have a regular meeting place or a place where he is in residence?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know the... geography of the city to tell you what it is or where it is, but yes.
Okay. Kira will... obviously, she's not getting anywhere. She's been in jail several times now, probably. I'm sure they're possibly treating her with kid gloves. I mean, in so much as, like, it doesn't sound like I'm serving hard time, despite assaulting at least one official.
Yes.
But they're
also... completely patronizing you.
Sure.
They're saying, yeah, we understand what you've been through, and yes, we know that there's a threat and everything like that, and then they're looking at each other and chuckling.
Do I have any friends with any sort of political power left in town? I don't know that I would have had any to begin with, but
I mean, you said that you were basically conscripted.
Yeah, it's a civilian militia.
So no, I don't know that you would.
Okay.
You may have had a commanding officer or something like that.
So there would be a command structure within that civilian militia.
Did the Grey Cloaks go and stay in Gontalgrim, or did they just go and help out and come back?
I think the Grey Cloaks went and helped and came back. Kira stayed.
Okay. Then yes, you would probably know somebody.
Okay. Then I would like to go to that reporting office.
Okay.
Wherever that is. And speak to nameless official who is in charge of the civilian militia.
Okay.
Here, you're going to need this. And I will set down my chainmail, and Kira will put her corporal badge on top of it as well and slide it across the desk.
Okay. Wow.
They're going to get you killed. Put that on somebody who can use it. Don't die for them. They're fucking pricks. And she'll turn and walk out.
So is this... Okay, I don't know who this person is. I mean, is this somebody that was your friend, somebody that you respected as a superior officer, or...
It depends on what all has changed, because obviously she's been gone for a couple of years.
Oh,
so
that's true.
It may be nameless no person. It could be the person that knows her.
So
that's entirely up to you.
You come reporting in, and you get the same kind of treatment, because it's not the people you know.
Right.
It's, yeah.
It's entirely possible. Could be the same person from several years ago. Could be somebody entirely different. That's up to you, Jeff.
No, it's up to you. I'm asking you.
I don't have any idea.
Okay.
I'm reporting to whoever that is. If I know them, great. If not, great. Either way, the same interaction is played.
Okay. So once Kira renounces her position within the Gray Cloaks, and I'm assuming Neverwinter in general, where does she go?
The woods. Sorry, I'm legitimately removing these items from my character sheet. rank insignia corporal is off my list, as is chainmail. Yeah, I think she... Don't tell Matt, but I think she spends a lot of time out in the wilderness, just kind of subsisting with her bow and hanging out with the holy symbol of Moradin that she still has and talking to Harrison Sword.
Well, see, I had this whole idea where Kira is not good with a sword the same way she is with a polearm.
For sure.
I see Kira getting up every day and going through basic stances and forms.
Sure.
And still just not getting it. And working harder and trying to figure this out and make it work the way that she thinks it should, the way her pole arm did, and just not getting anywhere.
Well, and again, that's part of civilian militia. Like, you're meant to hold the spears and to mm-hmm. defend the line while the pompous pricks on horseback or whatever else can ride around and do what they need to do. You're there to, you know, hold the line, defend the front, defend the flanks. So that's the only thing that she would know.
Mm-hmm.
Swords would be almost a foreign weapon to her, relatively speaking, based on her civilian training. But yeah, I think that she spends some time out away from people trying to figure out what to do next. She's reported in like a good soldier and nobody gives a shit.
So is she completely avoiding people, or is she like going vigilante around villages and taking out bandits and shit like that?
If the opportunity presents itself, absolutely. But I'm picturing it more like Thoreau's Walden, where he wrote this book like he went out of the wilderness and subsisted, but really he was only like 2 miles out of town and could walk there any day if he wanted to. It's more pouting.
Yeah.
It's existential pouting, but it's definitely pouting. But yeah, no, I mean, she would wander. She's clearly traveled. She feels comfortable on her own. So maybe she travels north out of Neverwinter for a while and then turns around and maybe comes back into town and tries to sell some herbs or something. I mean, I think she was proficient in, like,
cooking.
So, like, also in thieves' tools. So, I mean, like, she's got the ability to do some things. I'm proficient in land vehicles. Maybe she fixes a couple carts for some people out in the middle of nowhere. Just tries to do good for a while, but not avoiding people, but not trying to be around people either.
Okay.
For however long is narratively convenient for a sabbatical.
Okay.
Take out some bandits, maybe. Threaten some with a talking sword that catches fire and shit. Like, that's a pretty theatrical for a bunch of low-level commoner bandits. Like, you probably don't even actually need to do anything at that point.
Yeah.
So, doing her thing.
So, how long does she spend out there?
Again, narrative convenience for whatever you need it to do. But, I mean, until she finds some other reason to not do that.
Okay, so...
It gets cold, seasons change, something like that.
Okay. So eventually, you'll get something similar to Malvaeus. Are you going to go to Gontalgrim on your own, or do you need someone to come and get you?
I'm just giving you stuff to play with. I don't know what you're trying to do.
No, I'm trying to let you tell the story that you want to tell.
I mean, I think that it kind of becomes a question of, does Harrison Ford talk her into doing it? Does she go on her own? Is there a messenger? I'm amenable to any of those. Writing a story without an ending.
Okay. So what kind of things do Kira and Harrison Ford talk about? I mean, I remember in the description of Dawnbringer that Dawnbringer was all about bringing light into the darkness and defending those who needed it. So, I mean, at this point, you are attuned to Dawnbringer.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how much Dawnbringer is rubbing off on you, but I know that eventually you kind of rub off on Dawnbringer.
Sure.
I mean, Dawnbringer was already scared of the dark. She has her flaws. She has things where she's not a wholly, like, let's march out into whatever and bring down evil or whatever.
Right.
She's, I keep saying she.
I mean, the thing
Harrison Sword is getting just as depressed as you are.
Well, I think that's the thing, is that Kira did what she, I mean, she was a civilian militia who volunteered on a mission to do something and then volunteered to stay. And then, like, to her, military upbringing and reporting on up is what you do. Mm-hmm. So to be utterly rejected by the people that ostensibly she's been keeping the world safe for is disheartening. Like, her whole hierarchy and structure of everything that she is has suddenly shattered. So Dawnbringer influencing to bring light to people is going to change, because now it's a question of what is bringing light to people when there is no structure, when all you've been taught is that you have to follow orders. You know what I mean?
Right, but when there's a problem with the orders.
Right, exactly.
You jump the step and you go to the next superior.
And I think that would be the argument. That's the argument that Dawnbringer's having.
So where do you go from here? Where is your next superior? Who are you going to turn to when the ones who are supposed to listen to you aren't here or aren't listening? I mean, Dawnbringer would be trying to figure this out with you. I mean, where do we go from here?
I mean, do we go back to the Underdark to die?
I mean, if that's what we need to do, but I don't think going by ourselves is going to do anybody any good.
Yeah. You're not wrong. I mean,
do we go and find the others?
We could.
Do we know where Nexus went? Do we know where Malvaeus went? What about Matt?
I don't know. I feel like this fight would take days. Like, this five-minute conversation.
No, I can see this argument probably goes on for a week or more.
It's really easy to finish the argument when you could put the sword in your backpack and ignore it.
Oh, no, because it's attuned to you. It can speak mentally to you. Shut it up.
She probably hurls it across the forest, goes and picks it up again later. But yeah, no, it continues to resound, probably until, given that Jeff is planning on having Harrison Sword voiced again. Thanks, Jeff. and given how irritating that sword's history is, probably...
Hey, you could be having that argument right now.
Yeah, no. Thanks. I just get the sense that there would be a point where it would just be like, all right, fine. We'll go to Gontalgrim. Just fucking stop, okay? Just fucking stop. She just stares at the sword hilt. We'll go. We'll see what's going on. I gotta do something with this anyway, she says, holding the holy symbol of Morden in her other hand. I don't know what I'm gonna do with it, but... I've given them what they need. They've got the armor off my back. They've got my resigned commission.
You've done all you can for them.
Yeah, let's not bring it up anymore, okay? let's go. She'll look for the nearest hole.
Yeah, you... Gontalgrim is not far from Neverwinter.
Right.
You'd make your way back into the surface town, Bleeding Vines.
Okay.
And you'd take the train down.
Cool. I will definitely have my goggles of night handy.
Oh, no. You get down. You get off the train.
Do they keep it pretty lit?
It's, yeah, it's completely lit.
Oh, gotcha.
Between actual fire, magical, continual flame, bioluminescent fungus, everything. It's beautiful down here. I mean, the Gontalgrim is, it's ancient. It's, I mean, you've been to Mithril Hall. You've seen that. Both of them are ancient dwarven holds. This one is older.
Gotcha.
It's been destroyed. It's been lost. It's been found. It's been conquered. It's been retaken. And it's still magnificent.
I'll stop a random passerby.
Yeah. I mean, you'd be stopped at the gates.
I wasn't sure how freely one could move around Gontalgrim.
I mean, you're not like held at spear point or anything like that.
Sure.
But you coming off the train and into the upper levels of Gontalgrim, there's a string of gates and checkpoints, because the the main government center is on the upper levels.
Gotcha.
But yeah, you'd be stopped. You'd be asked what's your business, where you going.
I will greet them in Dwarvish. Looking for some friends that I think may be here. I served with the Grey Cloaks once upon a time, and was looking to catch up with some old military buddies here in Gontalgrim. Some of the dwarves that we helped defend the halls with, and so on and so forth.
So is Kira, like, bedraggled, having lived in the woods for weeks?
I'm sure she looks rough, but I don't know if bedraggled is quite what I would go with. But yes, does she desperately need a shower? Sure.
Okay. Well, I mean, there's road weary, and then there's I've lived in the woods and not seen another human being for 3 weeks.
Closer to the latter.
A Grey Cloak.
Yes, formerly.
So who are you looking for here? The Grey Cloaks all went back to Neverwinter.
Yeah. But I served for a time with... and I mean, I would know those names. I don't have them written down on my character sheet. But I served with some time in... such and such regiment, such and such whatever.
Oh, the dwarves that you served with.
Correct.
Okay.
Trying to get in touch with Captain So-and-so or Sergeant So-and-so. Have a couple of dwarven friends, just hoping to meet up. It's been a long time since I've been here.
Okay.
Not that long since I came this way to go the other way, but...
Your name's not Truesilver, is it?
Fuck. Yeah. Yes, it is. Wait, are you looking for a Truesilver? Like, there's my poster in the back, or perhaps I want 1,000,000 credits or something?
No, I mean, some of the stories about what you guys did down in the Underdark have been circulating around here. I mean,
we ran for our feckin' lives, but sure.
From what some people say, you did a lot more than that.
I mean, that was the general gist of things, but... Sorry, stories about clearing out Gontalgrim?
No, I mean, Eldith Feldrin has been back here singing your praises and trying to warn everybody that demons are coming.
She's right.
I think the king has sent riders out to find your friends and you.
Huh, well.
I think maybe you should come in.
Any chance, before meeting King Battlehammer, that perhaps I could get a hot bath? Maybe? Change of And she like pulls like the sweat sticky clothes from her chest. Like, change of clothes, perhaps.
You know, I think that can be arranged.
I'd appreciate it. Happy to pay a good inn.
No, I don't think you'll have to worry about an inn. And you're escorted in, and you're put up.
That's surprising.
No, you are put up in probably finer places than you've ever been put up in. I don't know what the dwarven equivalent of the Hilton is, but the nicest that they've got, you're brought in as a guest, and
hot baths and beer taps directly in the room, kind of a thing.
Something like that. Yeah.
You don't have to go downstairs for mead. You can get trashed in your room.
They provide for you. They provide you with whatever you need. So what does Kira want to do here?
Well, I mean, at this point, you've given me a senior officer now to report to.
Yeah.
So, I mean, legitimately, Kira will bathe. She will put on the finest clothes she has, or if she can talk someone into finding something nice and presentable. And I mean, if she could put on the equivalent of military dress, she'll report to Bruner as soon as possible in, you know, and see what he wants.
It will be the next day.
Sure.
But you're given an audience. You tell him what you're telling me, and he says, I think we could use you. I've already sent for your friends.
Excellent.
He waves to one of the attendants, and you're given basically the same kind of badge that you just turned in. And
sweet.
You're brought into their force. You're provided armor, you're provided weapon, you're provided whatever you need, whatever you don't have. And he says, I want to hear everything that you have to say. I want to hear everything that's happened, but I'm waiting for your friends.
Sure. Absolutely. I'll tell you whatever you need.
Fall in.
Aye, aye, sir. She will click her heels together. I'm assuming it will take some time to bring them all in.
Yeah. We got a little bit more for you.
Sure.
But what do you got?
She'll pull out I hear you have a group of special individuals that are sort of an honor guard. I've heard of them. Maybe not necessarily an honor guard, but an elite guard perhaps. Believe that you call them the Battle Ragers.
Yeah.
I understand that their methods are a little peculiar, but she pulls out Dawnbringer. Can they show me how to use this a little better?
I don't think they'd have much use for it.
I hear they've got some unique and special techniques. I'd be interested to see what they could show me.
Okay.
Yes, am I going to involve this, Jeff? Absolutely.
Okay, so Kira is basically enlisted in Gondolgrim. Tallest man in the line.
Woman.
Yeah, probably. I don't think dwarves discriminate between men and women, so probably not the only woman in the line.
That's true. The only extremely obvious woman in the line.
But she was specifically interested in training with the Battle Ragers.
I like to picture that Kira... Cody knows what the Battle Ragers are. I like to think that Kira has just heard of these mythical Battle Ragers.
And has no fucking idea what she's gotten herself into.
Absolutely, and I assume that Jeff would enjoy that.
Yeah. So, I don't know if Troy knows what the Battle Ragers are.
He kind of explained a little bit to me when you were upstairs.
But for the audience, because I probably didn't explain all of it, and you will have a better synopsis.
So, dwarven Battle Ragers are barbarians. They carry no weapons. They are in ridged razor armor with a helmet spike. They run at something, throw themselves at it, grapple, and shimmy. And that's all they do. They are the most fearsome warriors that the dwarves have, and they point... Thimbledore Pwent is one of my favorite characters from Forgotten Realms. But Pwent's dead, so Pwent's kind of dead.
It's Salvatore. Nobody's really dead.
Yeah. Pwent's kind of dead and kind of not dead at the same time, actually. So, either way, I actually wrote a battle rager into the first half of Out of the Abyss, and you guys hadn't met him yet.
Ah.
You meet Eldith's uncle.
Nice.
Malin Brassrocks.
Of course it's a brass rock.
Yes.
Good old family brass rocks.
And Kira watches as Malin goes running across the training chamber, dives at a wooden practice dummy, impales it with the helmet spike, grabs on with all four limbs, and just starts shredding the dummy. It's like, that's what you got to do!
Huh. Is there a nearby spike helmet?
Oh, yeah, he'll give you a spiked helmet.
Which I'm sure fits absolutely poorly.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And smells fucking awful.
I'm sure it's like I've got a double strap. I've got, like, the strap is coming down to, like, just either side of my ear. I have to use twine to hold it on.
Yeah, because the helmet doesn't come past your ears.
Right. And Kira will bend her head down and fly across the training room screaming.
And fail miserably, because there is actually proficiency with this kind of armor, and Kira does not have that.
Negative.
Unless that's the primal path you go with.
No, at this point, I think that Kira is just utilizing the Battle Rager to get out some well-earned rage. This is not regimented. This is not... The thing that appeals to her is that this is not people in a rank holding a pike. This mm-hmm. is not, you know, click, click, stomp your feet, turn left, jab all at one time and go, hwah. This is pure unbridled rage. And every time she goes running across and knocks herself the fuck out on a stone wall when she misses, like, she's just seeing images of fucking demons and that stuff that's been haunting her. Maybe rattling her brain makes them disappear for a little bit, and so that feels good.
But between your sabbatical in the woods, your arguments with Harrison Sword, and your training with the Battle Ragers, I like to think that that's where your two levels of barbarian go.
Oh, 1,000%. No, I'm giving you all that. She has done nothing but be a good soldier, and has done nothing but fucked her for the last 89 episodes of this goddamn podcast.
Yeah.
And she's just mad.
But still, even with all of this, where you're beating the shit out of yourself day in and day out training with these Battle Ragers, you still get up at the ass crack of dawn every morning and you go through your forms.
Yep.
You're practicing with Harrison Sword and you're still not getting anywhere.
Correct.
And eventually you put it away and you get out your glaive and you go through things the way you know they should be.
Sure. Because then it dances, then it sings.
Yeah. And, I mean, weeks of this go by. And after a few weeks, you hear a voice behind you. You're in the zone. You've not noticed anything. You've thought you were completely alone. And you hear a voice behind you, a woman's voice, say, "You know, I've been watching, and I think that I can help you."
She probably narrowly stumbles, you know, just being caught off guard, whirling around.
Actually, I bet it depends on which weapon she has in her hand. If she's got Harrison's sword in her hand, I bet she fumbles. But if she's got the glaive in her hand, she pivots perfectly and comes on guard in her direction.
I suppose that's a fair point. regardless of fumble or elegance, she will turn to face the speaker.
She sees a dusky-hued woman.
Marnin?
Good morning.
How can I help you? You'll have to find a title for me, Jeff, because I will want to use it, whatever it is. Doesn't have to be now.
Yeah, at some point I did actually look up dwarven military ranks, and I don't remember them.
You have to find one. Yeah, I was formerly a corporal.
I will figure that out.
But is she addressing someone in a uniform?
No, she's not. She's addressing someone in robes.
She'll bring her feet together, weapon at her side, and sort of bow and introduce herself. I'm Grand High Pumbaa, you know.
Yeah.
Kira True Silver, at your service. Is she... Did you say she was dwarvish?
No, she's human.
I will speak in common then.
Okay. You can call me Catty.
Hello, Catty.
Kira 100% knows who this is.
I had a feeling she did.
For the audience, if you haven't read any of the Dritzt books, this is the adopted human daughter of King Brunner.
Fanboy Troy over there is squealing right now. You can't hear him because he's so excited.
Yes.
You're...
Just Catty. It's okay.
Fair enough. At no point does she step out of perfect, rigid, backed form.
I think that I can help you and your friend there get along a little better.
Okay.
Should put your chocolate in your peanut butter.
Would you come with me?
Aye, sir.
What about you? And it probably takes Harrison Sword a minute to realize that he's being addressed. And he says, yeah, what do you have in mind?
The sword says yes.
No, he can speak out loud.
Oh, fair enough.
And she will lead you down to the train. And you guys take off on the train, and she starts explaining to you what she wants to do. And she asks if this is okay. And she asks you, and she asks Harrison Sword, is this okay?
Is what okay?
I want to put your friend into the Great Forge.
Well, that seems to be more a decision for him than me.
That's why I'm asking both of you. I think that I can turn your friend here into a more fitting weapon for your fighting style.
Sword?
Harrison's sword is all about being able to do a better job at doing what it does in your hands. So... if she can reforge him into a glaive, he's all about it.
All right.
Our title track, Elders, is provided by Sleep for the Weary off their debut album, Nocturnes. Learn more about the band at sleepfortheweary.com. Want to continue the conversation? Find us on Facebook at Fans of the Rancor's Brothel or on Twitter at Rancor's_Brothel. Need more actual play episodes? Find over 1,000 individual episodes at our website, rancorsbrothel.com. Thank you for listening. Much love, and keep circulating the tapes.